Mud water is something I've been using daily since I started the podcast. It's supposed to be an alternative to coffee, but I actually add it to mine for some extra health benefits. It's got four functional mushrooms and with only a little caffeine, and each ingredient was added for a purpose. Cacao and chai for a hint of caffeine and hot chocolate like flavor. Lion's mane for focus. Cordyceps to promote natural energy. It's also Whole30 approved, 100% USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. Mudwater donates monthly to support psychedelic research and has since day one. They believe the country is in a mental health epidemic and that psychedelic-assisted therapy is one of the most effective tools we have to treat mental health conditions. Today, you get $20 off when you subscribe at mudwater.com/cam. You also get a free frother and a sample of their delicious coconut creamer. So go to mudwater.com/cam to get $20 off your subscription and your free frother. That's mudwater.com/cam. Hoyt Archery has been my bow hunting sponsor since 2005. And personally, I really don't care what bow you shoot, what brand it is. I just hope that you have the same level of confidence in your equipment as I have in mine. Because I know if I get one opportunity with my Hoyt, it's going to pay off.
Every step I take, I move my truth. Every time they tell me stop, I use. Every comment, hate that makes my fuel. Gather up my energy and boom. I hear them talking, saying the way that I move is so reckless. That is a part of my mind I've been blessed with. Giving my blood so I am relentless.
This is the Keep Hammering Collective, and I'm here with Speedland again. So we had a debate the other day on who, James was saying he was the first repeat guest. Then I got corrected. And I'd actually done two with Chandler, one here, one in Nashville. Okay. But now, aside from all that, and aside from him trying to horn his way into, you know, my show, you guys are the official first repeat guest in the studio.
Wow. We're honored. That's nice. Really cool.
Well,
we didn't know till yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm, you know,
we're just threw it out surprised.
There. Yeah.
Thank you.
These guys were bringing me down our new shoe coming out. And
That's right. And
I said, well, let's do a podcast and give everybody the update on what's going on with Speedland. So here we are.
Great. All right.
One thing that I get every day, pretty much, I think we need to explain the business model of Speedland. And once the shoes are gone in that model, or commission is what you guys call them. So my commission, PGH, right?
PISCA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once those are gone, they're gone.
They're gone.
There's no reprints. There's right. no yeah. second runs. It's they're gone. So have you guys had to deal with people wondering about that?
Every day.
Every day.
We understand that's a little frustrating for people when you don't understand that. You go to buy your size, you're excited to get it, and then it's gone. And our answer is we're not making those again. So that's part of the deal. We don't believe in making excess stuff where we're having to recycle things, and we are small enough, we don't have outlet stores to get rid of extra products. So we really want to make a limited run and have it disappear and get into consumers' hands. And so if you miss it, you miss it.
You miss it. The only model that we will bring back every so often is the PDX.
Okay.
The GSP. That's kind of our evergreen, our brand color. And that'll kind of come out every so often. But other than that, everything else is a limited run. But one thing to clarify, because a lot of people, I think, worry then, okay, well, if I love that product, how do I get it again then? Because
yeah.
I'm going to love, you know, people
in their running
want to run. The platforms stay the same.
Okay.
So if we have the PGH, your model, and it's on the GS platform, the next time we come out with another GS model, it's still on the same platform. So it's still
right.
going to run very similar.
Feel the same.
Yes, feel
okay.
the same. So you're essentially still able to get the same fit and feel.
Right, I understand.
Which is important as a runner.
Yeah, I know. Once you find something that works, it's really hard to get away from it.
People right. get emotional about that. They like, oh, this is going away. I love this yeah. shoe. And so we do like to clarify that the CAM commission might not be available, but the GS platform is
right. yeah.
around. And so this new one, the GS SFD, stands for Springfield. Will run very similar and fit very similar to the PGH. So anybody who had the PGH model, it's obviously a different color, has some different touches about it, but you can experience a very similar feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think it looks good. And I think, you know, Your coloring, we've been unique in it, especially with like with mine, with the blood, and that caused a lot of talk, I guess. But so these are pretty safe. Most people out there are pretty moderate type people, pretty safe. They don't, the blood on the shoe, maybe they didn't really like, what's this about? This is like, this should be an easy, very palatable for people, right?
Yeah, I mean, it still has your special touches. I mean, it has obviously your logo. It also has the "We Must Endure" graphic.
Yeah.
So it definitely has your touches on there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Black, white, red is definitely
so sick.
Very commercial.
So
sick. People will love that one.
And it's freaking light. I mean, this feels. I'm always like ounces matter type thing. Yeah. Maybe it carries over from hunting the mountains, like everything you're on your back, like right. It adds up. So when I pick up a shoe, that's like one of the first things I'm doing is like, ooh, that feels good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's light. So probably around 10 ounces.
Yeah. Yeah. Right around 10 ounces. Yeah. And it's that balance of making it light, but still making it super durable.
That's
really important too.
What are trail shoes? Are they usually heavier than 10 ounces? Do you think?
No, that's probably the bulk of product.
Yeah. I would say there's a range all the way from, 9-ish all the way up to, some are up to 12.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that like Kevin said, there's a balance between, we call it sometimes right weight versus lightweight.
Yeah.
Because you got to have that balance of enough support. You got to have the right traction, right? The right grip.
Yeah.
You can cut back a lot of places, but it's not necessarily going to, you want it to be light, but it needs to perform in all areas. So.
You're compromising something if you make it too light.
Right.
And sometimes that's a deliberate choice and it's the right thing to do. For a, ultra product like this, the durability has to be there. You got to be reliable.
Yeah.
And so that dictates certain choices that we made. We could have taken some rubber. The rubber is the heaviest part.
Yeah.
You could take rubber away, but then you start to sacrifice traction or durability. And I think we've had really good feedback on traction and durability, and we're not quite ready to take the steps of compromising those things.
Yeah, these I'm coming up on the last. Well, I did an ultra last year, and it's this Saturday again. So I'm doing, but I just remember last year, me and Taylor were doing it, and it was so muddy. People were slipping and sliding everywhere, but we were good because these lugs are just so perfect for muddy trails, and I mean, one thing I have heard a lot is how durable they are in regard to the tread. This guy I saw in Pisgah the other day, I think he's over 400 miles on his pair.
Nice.
And so people are always, I was going to mention too, once they sell out, they're gone type thing. Because I have heard people, they're not cheap. Good shoes are, high-end running shoes are $250, $275, that's just kind of what high-end running shoes are at. But for some people, they're like, oh, I got to save up. Okay, now I got enough money for these shoes. Oh, they're gone because they're sold out. And so that's what I feel bad about. But what I like is that when you're putting 400 or 600 miles on a pair of shoes, most shoes you've replaced out a couple times since then. So when you look at like the value's there because they're lasting longer. Yes, it's an investment, but I have shoes that were, $250 that in 100 miles they've already compromised. So it's like, it is a lot, but when they last, it's not that bad.
Right.
Is how I look at it.
That's right. And I think, some people have kind of given us some jabs that, oh, this is super elitist, or, that we're not inclusive because it's so expensive. And that's certainly not the intention. Our intention was to make the best product. And
right.
We see it kind of the other way, to your point, that if trail running, running in general is important enough to you, spending a little bit extra to get a quality product is an investment, and it's money well spent. So, we're not out here trying to gouge people. We're using the best materials that we can find, and we're putting it together in the best way we know how. And hopefully that people appreciate that once they try it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's do people who drive regular cars complain about the price of Mercedes? It's just like,
right.
Hey, if it's the best, it costs more, right? Or a Lamborghini. It's just like, there's other options, but I don't know if you want the best.
Yeah.
She comes.
Yeah. It's you gotta be willing to pay something.
Yeah.
And, if you look at it versus a, a fashion shoe where people are spending a lot more than that for something that's, you know, going to be worn a few times for one season. It's, you know, no comparison.
And I would say because the fit and the feel is fairly unique on this product, that we actually see a lot of ultra runners, and this is people who are running, you know, almost every day or putting in miles. They buy multiple pairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they come back to us and they say, well, there's nothing else that quite feels like this.
Right.
So I need multiple pairs in my rotation. So,
yeah. I do. I saw somebody the other day posted, I think all the models were sitting there.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're flying the flag for sure.
That's really rewarding to see and get that feedback that, you know, cause you see it when people find that shoe, like you said earlier, they'll buy four or five pairs because they know it'll change and it won't be the same. We're not in that zone of changing quickly, but people then do acquire multiple pairs, and that's, gives us kind of that feedback that, hey, we're on the right track. We're doing something right here.
I'm like, I got to have clean shoes for going to like church. So these are like church shoes right here. Yes. And then the running shoes that are muddy.
Yeah.
So I need to have like two different ones.
I'm for, exact for same
formal occasions.
My clean pair and my running pair.
Yeah. So I got to have at least two of every model.
Uh-huh.
One for just kicking it. But yeah, it's been exciting to see what Speedland has been doing. And like this new we got these new shirts coming out with that commission there. And these are Origin shirts. So that's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, we like
we love that group. We got introduced to them through the circle, and Pete and the team there are amazing what they're doing, and to be connected to them for this shirt is also a privilege.
Yeah. Well, how's in general, how's Speedland, how's been the process? So tell me, how long have you guys been going? Like, I don't think we ever talked about this last time. And how far down the road are we now, and how's it looking?
We started in June of 21, right? As far as product on the market.
As far as selling product, yeah. And it was a year in front of that we started the development, roughly May of 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're 4 years into this adventure overall, 3 years of being in the market. And it's a challenge running a small business, not gonna lie, that's a challenge. But it's also been, you know, I think some of the most exciting times of our lives, if I speak for Dave, just being able to do it how we wanna do it and with the people we choose to do it with is pretty special. And the growth has been steady and kind of the healthy growth, we call it. You know, we're not dumping money on this and getting a huge spike. We're really leveraging our athletes and organic growth. Instagram is our main means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do it more grassroots style.
Yeah.
I mean, we get out to races, we get out to events, you know, obviously we work with guys like yourself and the growth doesn't spike as fast, but it's a slow, you know, steady growth, which is, you know, maybe a more healthy way if you want to be around.
Right.
Wow, so.
Yeah. You get the big bang and then it's gone, and then you can't keep up with demand or whatever. And then, exactly. People are on to other things.
Exactly.
We could mention some brands that we've seen that happen to, and we don't want to be in that position.
Yeah.
We want to make sure the growth is authentic, you know, that we're selling to the right people to jump into fashion, for instance, or getting into lifestyle. You might see some big numbers out of something like that for a little bit, but then when the trend goes somewhere else, all of a sudden you're left hurting or left with a bunch of products. So we're being careful to be really true to the consumers, listening to our athletes, what they need, feedback.
I mean, that's how the line's kind of formed. The athletes kind of tell us what they need, or, you know, post-race or, you know, during training, and then we kind of start to work on the product. So that's kind of how our future roadmap is made.
Yeah.
Yeah, we walked you through some of that before we started here, and that's all just really genuinely driven by input from you and the rest of our elites. Yeah. What do you need? What can we do better? And we're constantly refining. Even commission to commission, the GS is the platform. It's staying constant, but there's a lot of little things that we do.
What does GS stand for?
Well, that's a good question. The first two letters of each model, we had the SL first, now we have the GS. Automotive nomenclature is where the name, first two letters, just to distinguish the models.
I see.
Where that came from.
And then the city or the place or
And then the next three letters are the athlete's kind of choice of location. Inspiration. Gotcha. So yeah. TAM was Mount TAM for Dylan.
Yeah.
OAK was the Oakland area for Liam.
Yeah.
And now we had the PGH for you with Pisgah, and now SFD for Springfield.
Love it. Yeah. So what's coming up?
Well, we'll do another midsummer. We'll have another release of the PDX.
Yeah.
So everyone's familiar with that. And then we're going to get into some pretty exciting product here. This is called the GL, GLSVT. And so this stands for Silverton. And this is partnered with athlete Avery Collins. He's based there.
He's a good runner.
Great mountain runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard Rock last year. I mean, he's done a number of things.
But, yeah.
He's based there. And so he wanted something, you know, there's kind of an all-mountain runner, and you can see here it's got a kind of a high cuff,
yeah,
you know, kind of almost a built-in gaiter, keep stuff out, keep debris out. It's got an aggressive traction, yeah, kind of harkening back to what we had on the original SL,
but yep,
it's a little bit different. So super excited about this model. Kind of fits in between where maybe the original SL was and the GS. This kind of goes, hence the name GL, it goes right in between it.
Can I see that one?
So yeah, super excited about that.
And then is this different material here?
Different than the GS, yeah.
And so what's
that's
it?
That's a single layer, like ripstop mesh.
Yeah.
So super breathable, lightweight, very strong. And, you know, again, fits a little closer to the foot. Spacer mesh, you know, that we have
on
the GS gives you a little, you know, more comfort factor.
Yeah.
It's a little similar material to what we used on the original SL.
Right.
And then you'll notice the BOA location
on
the top strap is changed a little bit. And that was specific feedback from Avery, who wanted it up there.
Instead of here.
Instead of down there.
Yeah.
That's right. He had a little bit of pressure from that BOA receptacle down there.
So I think Taylor did. My brother did too.
Your brother
didn't
he? Did too.
Yeah.
And so in an interesting way, both Avery and Taylor were kind of instrumental in that change.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's the location where it sits currently. We did add foam in recent commissions behind that receptacles because there were a few people who had that issue. I think if your peroneal tendon is kind of more on the surface, you're more susceptible to feeling things in that area. And so for somebody like Avery, super strong feet.
Yeah.
You know, he had that issue and we made that adjustment and it works really well. And so it kind of gives a different look, but that same
great similar function
zone functionality. Yeah.
No, I mean I haven't had any issues with the BOA, but I know Taylor did. And I haven't hardly heard any feedback on that. So
it's rare. This location has been good. We did add the foam to, based on the feedback that we did get from a few people, including Taylor and Avery, to try to just get ahead of that curve as we scale up. This is a different location. You know, down the road, we'd love to give people the choice, you know, which way do you like it? But for this one, we're building it that way.
I like that. Yeah, this looks good.
And then we'll come with a low as well, which sorry, it's a little dirty, but
testing sample.
But this one's pretty exciting. It has one bow on it, and we've gone with a strap, kind of a reverse strap in the back. So similar platform on the bottom, but kind of gives a low option as well. So
yeah,
pretty exciting. This will be the GL PDX.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks
good. So, you know, in this kind of model, we'll have the commission. This is a commission based around Avery and Silverton. PDXs tend to be those models that are probably going to stay in the product range in some capacity. So the PDX here, it's gaiter compatible too. So if you don't like the built-in gaiter, but want that functionality, it's got the loop in the front, Velcro in the back. But we know this type of product with a cuff is, a lot of people love it, but there's also people who are like, I just don't want to wear a high. I don't like that feeling. And so we felt like offering the low was a way to differentiate it, but also kind of do something a little bit different with that strap. Mm-hmm. Our intention there is to make the price point a little bit more accessible as well, but still give the dual zone fit, which we think is important for an ultra shoe.
Yeah, having that adjustability is key. But I, for people who don't know, these BOA, these cost money.
Yeah, they do.
I mean,
they do.
They're
they
cool.
They're great technology.
They are great, but yeah, they're not free. And so BOA's done a good job. You know, they've created something that people want and they'll pay for. But yeah, it does make the, if you got two of them on every shoe, it's, you know, adding up, adding cost.
We felt like the strap was a good way to still have a, you know, a functional way to quickly change your racing feel too. Because that's the other thing that we got great feedback on is, hey, it doesn't seem like relacing your shoe is that big of a deal until it's dark and wet and you're 80 miles into on
that's the biggest advantage to the BOAs is it so quick just to back, I mean, how you can back two that
way,
off.
The two-way thing people don't realize as well because there, you know, there's other BOA dials that cost a little bit less, but you have to pop them and then restart your timing to be able to just back off a couple of clicks.
Oh, that's huge.
It's pretty huge if you're in this space. And the Velcro, you know, it's tested and proven it works well. It just, and so we know it'll function well, just saves a little bit of money. So, you know, for us, it'll be an experiment. If we find people don't like the strap, then we can always go back to the two BOA, but we think it's a nice alternative.
Yeah. For my old ass, what I don't like about, I mean, I like having the gaiter, but I hate when a shoe's hard to get on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like trying to get my foot, like especially in a race, you're not really doing that. Yeah, but if I look at shoes and it's like one is like this and one is like that, I'm like, I want this. Yeah. But when it's on, you're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. But when you're old.
You're exactly right. And that's, we know this from experience too. Yeah. That there's, for some people, that's just a reason not to buy. Mm-hmm. Other people, it is a reason to buy. Because there's a crowd of people who just hate, or for whatever reason, how their foot or ankle is shaped, they're prone to getting stuff inside. And, so they either wear gaiters all the time. And gaiters are fine, but they're kind of a hassle.
Yeah, they are.
That's a different hassle.
And so this is a good way to solve that problem.
This is great. Because if you, it does keep that debris. And when you're in the mountains, it doesn't take one little tiny pebble in there and you're just, it could ruin your whole day, right? So I get it.
And that's another advantage with the BOA. If you do get something inside, it's a lot easier to, two pops, take it off, shake that thing out, put it back on, tighten up, and away you go, versus lacing where it just takes longer. So between the two, we think there's an interesting new platform here, and new use cases, so we're excited to bring this out. Probably September-ish.
Let's not commit, but September, October, somewhere around there. We're still testing, you know, to be honest with everybody. So we don't,
they look good.
We don't put anything out until we feel confident that it's gone through the proper testing. And
is this a mountain range?
Yep, that's out of Silverton. So that was Avery's specific request.
Yeah,
and he's at the Grand Canyon next week, I think, with the latest prototype.
Oh,
so
that's
the kind of testing that for us is just so critical.
Oh, I know.
We don't rush that.
When we do a commission, the athlete gets to test first.
Yeah.
And then our next step is we open up the sizes for the rest of our elite team, let them test. Because one person is great. You need that guy or girl to buy in. But, you know, everybody runs in different styles and different terrains, and it's important that we test those as well. So after we test with our elites, then we go to commercialization. So we have a timetable, but we're also committed to making sure the testing is thorough.
Yeah, flexible.
Yeah, if it's not right, it's not coming.
If it's not right, we won't do it.
Yeah.
I know I didn't realize how cool the BOA was and having that back off. Because when you said, if it's not right, you got to do like this, then get back to where it was, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you think you want to loosen it up. And then because it didn't have that option just to back off a couple, you're like, you're right back to where you were originally. And you're like, it's still too tight. Yeah. But with this, it's so easy if it's tight because your feet swell later in these ultra marathons. You can just like two clicks.
Yep.
Just like that. Both of them two clicks and you're good to go. Whereas, if you had to pop out and start back over, it's really tough to figure out where that was. But that is the biggest, I don't think people realize how cool that is. Ketone IQ is my podcasting superfood. I'm no Andrew Huberman, so talking for hours actually takes a lot out of my brain power, which I feel like Ketone IQ actually helps with. Ketone IQ is a clean energy boost without caffeine or sugar. It increases your blood ketone. I'm not on a keto diet, but by taking Ketone IQ, I can achieve the desired focus and energy for explosive workouts that ketones typically provide those in ketosis. You can find Ketone IQ at your local Sprouts or online at hvmn.com and use code CAM, C-A-M, for 20% off your first order. Black Rifle Coffee is celebrating a decade of coffee in 2024. They're the only coffee I drink, and supporting them is supporting veterans and the outdoor community. One of my favorite packages that I get on a monthly basis is a Black Rifle Coffee Club exclusive coffee roast. The only way you can get it is if you subscribe to the coffee club, and this month's coffee is a full-bodied roast, and it comes from the jungles of Brazil, Pink 79. The exclusive coffee club subscription gives you nothing but the best. It's a coffee of the month club where you get premium roasts from the best farms worldwide. Black Rifle Coffee is America's coffee. It's veteran-owned and operated. They support hunting and conservation and give back immensely to the veteran community. They're offering followers of the podcast 20% off on your first purchase to the coffee club or order on their site using code KEEPHAMMERING to get America's coffee today.
Yeah, no.
It's a really subtle thing, but once you get used to it, it's hard to go back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear that, and I personally believe that.
Yeah.
Once you go back to the old school, you're like, oh, now I just take them off and put these on.
I just like everything to have on
iTunes.
Yeah.
And we've talked about we've talked about the road shoe and doing different things, and it's like, you know, because laces, it would make it cheaper. Are laces lighter or are these lighter?
Laces are probably a little bit lighter. But again, it's
what are you giving up?
I know,
if you're getting better fit.
I'm so addicted to the BOA, but yeah, it's maybe one BOA
So we do have a road shoe coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do get asked about that all the time. So that's good that you brought that up, because we do have a road shoe coming. Again, we as a company don't want to put anything out unless we feel that it's better
mm-hmm.
than what's out there.
Okay.
And so that makes it very difficult on us when people say, okay, put a road show. It's like, okay, well, we'll put a road show if we feel like we can make something that's better.
Right.
And so for us, we have guys and women like yourself that are out there training on the road. So we'd want to put out a running trainer for the road that's better than what we feel out there. Not necessarily a racer, but a training shoe for the road that's better than what's out there. And so we think we have something pretty special that we're working on. We have pretty special foam that we think we're working on as well. So we think we can get to that place. And how much do you want to disclose on this? Timetable wise, even.
I'm not saying that I've seen it or weighed it, but if I had, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm feeling.
I'm pretty bullish on it for sure, that we have something that we can definitely push the industry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, again, that the testing tells all, right? And I think for us, looking at the racing space, marathon, it's really crowded.
Yeah.
And frankly, the Nike product is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not to say we don't think that maybe we could play in that someday, but right now it's really crowded. Nike's dominating and has a big big lead, I'd say. People have caught up. There's a lot of other products that are excellent as well, but they're derivatives of the Nike formula.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna just jump into that for the sake of saying we have a marathon racing shoe.
Right.
And like Dave said, our angle and reason for doing the trainer is a lot of times some mountain athletes can't get to the trails. Mm-hmm. They need to run on the road, and we'd like to give them a great product to do that. So,
and everybody who's purchasing this shoe now, not everybody, but a lot of them are asking for it.
Yeah.
Saying, can you bring with this technology or similar fit and feel, bring a road shoe to the market?
Yeah.
So it's the kind of the athlete that we're serving right now is kind of speaking back to us, telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I know that the Nike shoe is popular. I mean, I ran in it and I mean, it tore up the back of my heel. This was so,
yeah.
This was like weighed, I mean, this is so soft right here on these shoes, but it was kind of rough. And it's like my heels were bleeding. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so I don't wear socks. That's probably part of it. But also is
definitely
like when they were loud when I was running, it's like slapping. Mm-hmm. It's like, so the technology might be good. I hated them.
Right.
I mean, I hated them. And I wanted to like them. They're freaking expensive, right?
Right.
And I'm oh, if these are illegal to run marathons because they're so fast or whatever they were saying. And I was just like, I ran a couple times in them and I personally didn't like them. So it's, I get that they're popular, but I think that you guys could make a better shoe. I mean.
Well, yeah.
Maybe someday we'll get there. We're gonna go for the training portion first, mm-hmm. and we'll learn a lot.
Yeah.
I think from that. And one of the things that's that we're working through and that we'll have to learn in testing is this removable plate idea. How does it translate to a road shoe?
Yeah.
We do know that for the racing shoe, they're really stiff plates in there. Our carbon that we use in our current product is engineered and built purposely for mountain running, where you don't want it to be stiff in every direction,
right.
because leaving you over. So the asymmetric product that we get from Carbitex is really unique and we think great for the mountains, but it's not the right carbon for the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that, the right carbon selection. And then the other part is taking it in and out for a road shoe. That's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that when the plate's in, it's an awesome shoe. And then when the plate's out, it's still an awesome shoe.
Because there's a use case for both.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For sure.
I mean, like you want to go a little faster, you put that plate, faster training day.
Yeah.
And then when you want to just do that plush long run.
Yeah.
Probably want to take the plate out. So that could be interesting too, to be the, basically first shoe ever that has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That too. Kind of hitting two modes with a single product would be unique. And so we see the opportunity. We believe we can do it. Our first prototype is giving us reason to believe and have optimism around it. but we have quite a bit of testing to do to validate that.
You know what irritated me is I saw these shoe awards or shoe of the year and like Footwear News or something like that. And I'm like, there's been no revolutionary shoe like Speedland out there. Why the hell wasn't Speedland mentioned in any of that shit?
That's a good question. I mean, it's a funny thing that way, there's pay to play that happens in the industry, right? With reviews and things like that.
You said it, not me.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's naive enough to think that, everything is totally objective, right?
Right.
If you spend a bunch of money in advertising, you're probably going to get good reviews and good awards.
But
and
like
we're not spending anything on advertising with anybody. So
when they say the word innovative, I'm like, I don't see anything as innovative as Speedland. And so how is it not mentioned? I follow those pages. I'm a shoe guy, not like you guys, but I love cool shoes. And I'm like, man, why didn't Speedland get love? Because you guys definitely deserved it. And it did. They were so different and people love them, so it wasn't like they're so different than just weird different.
Right.
And but they're effective. People love them. They last. They're new, innovative. So anyway, I was waiting for some big love out there and didn't see it. But
I think
the reality is, does that matter to people?
No.
I don't think people shop by this won an award, so therefore I'm going to, it's not like there's an Oscars of shoes, that actually influences people to do something. So, I mean, we have good relationships with most of the media and
mm-hmm.
we do our best to kind of get people product when they ask for it, and generally we get great feedback, but we don't chase that stuff. It's just not, we have other priorities.
Yeah. Making good shoes.
Yeah. And talking
to small business,
talking to athletes. That's what we're doing every day.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love the grassroots way you guys go about it. And it's just like, it makes the athletes feel like their voices are heard, their needs are met. And then you guys are at these events. What are the big events you guys plan on being at this year, have a presence?
So we have one coming up really soon, Gorge Waterfalls.
This is the third year for that race coming back to the Pacific Northwest. And So that's kind of Dylan and Daybreak, and we love working with both of those guys, and the race is kind of in our backyard, and it's a beautiful course. Last year was real tough conditions with the weather.
Hopefully a little better weather this year.
A couple weeks later this year, but independent of that, that's a important one for us, and we see a lot of athletes at that and have a presence.
Then we're sponsoring Cocodona with Aravaipa Group.
Yeah.
250. So that's a fun one. You know,
we did that last year and it was an amazing race. I mean, Mike McKnight's comeback, I think, one of the most underrated comebacks in the history of the
struggling.
Sport. I mean, and we actually saw it up close because Don was doing that race as well. And Mike
on course, I saw
Mike passed them right at a point where he was starting his move. And so we were kind of, we saw him at the aid stations for a while and it was like, wow. So anyway, the event is multi-days and it's a really unique
event.
So that group puts on really good events too.
And we love working with our
That's Jamil.
I like him. He's a great
and what
guy.
They're doing with I think the live streaming and allowing people to participate even if you're not there, I think is significant for the sport. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to follow a 100-mile race, never mind a 250-mile multi-day, but they make it really exciting, and I think that has proven to be a great formula. So we're excited to be back there for that this year.
And when is that? Is that in May?
May.
Yeah. First weekend in May or first week.
And then we have a big race in August called the Hood 100 that we're sponsoring. So that'll be the first time they've ever done
that distance
out at Hood. So
what's the course like? Do you guys know? Like
the game? It's great. It runs. It starts at Meadows, but it runs through some epic and classic old trails on Mount Hood, Surveyor's Ridge and Gumjuak and the 44 Trail. So it's going to be a really great event. Pretty accessible as well, you know. So I think we're really excited to see. And Daybreak does a great job, so we're excited to partner with them again. And we're actually going to do an aid station for that one as well.
So which one do you know?
For us.
Where is it at?
We do know Robin Hood.
Robin Hood Campground. So
how far is that in to the race?
That's a good question. I don't remember exactly what mile that is.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, but
I did a scramble there one time, which is like, do you guys remember scrambles?
Yeah.
It's like hardly, you're not even on trails.
Yeah, right.
You just follow the flag, the ribbon.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty much all out, just balls out as fast as you can go without dying.
Yeah.
It was tough. I think it started there right at and is it Meadows, did you say?
Yeah.
I think that's where it started and went up the hill a little ways, but
yeah,
it was brutal. It was, but I love that country.
Oh, yeah, there's great terrain, great views, super scenic. And so
beautiful.
We're excited to be a part of that one too.
Yeah, I love following Dylan. He's got such a presence in the ultra community.
And he's great.
Such a great voice. And he's doing good things. I'm glad you guys are connected with him and or partnering with him. He seems like a stud.
Yeah, he's a great
never met him in person
for the sport.
Oh, yeah,
I did his podcast.
Okay,
he's all good. Well, yeah, I just love the ultra community. It's like so unique, so cool. So many badasses out there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we love too, and partially why we chose to focus on trail is it's just. The people are genuine and really fun people to be around. So if you're going to start your own business, you want to choose to be around cool people. And everyone's so accessible. You know, like you had Courtney on your pod as well. And, you know, she's, for how badass she is in her sport, being the absolute GOAT, she's out there sitting in the river at Hard Rock cheering on.
Yeah,
I know.
Helping everybody.
People and... You know, that just says a lot. And, you know, that she represents kind of the whole spirit. And people, you know, they're going to help you out if you're struggling out there. They're not going to just walk over you, you know.
Gonna,
hey, what can I do to help you? Yeah. So it's just a cool community. We love being a part of it.
You know what we need to do at some point is, because Courtney's down, I think Solomon was having a training camp. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Kat must have been with, is she... No, is she New Balance? Or no,
who
is
she? Counts Brooks.
She's with Brooks.
Yeah. So they were having, we need to have a Speedland training camp.
Hmm.
something cool like that. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Would be fun? Yeah.
Because I see that. I see, like, I was watching Courtney doing, you know, with their athletes, Solomon had their athletes there, and I'm like, fuck, that looks fun. I want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's something that we should do more of. And we've talked about that with some of our athletes, and just how do we get that sense of community with our elites. And, and so that's something that we've actually got a great guy working with us now, Clark Morgan, who's helping out with our brand experience stuff. He's helped us a lot with the ambassador
program. I think I follow him too. He puts up a lot of, he tags me in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, sure. He's awesome.
He's a great guy, great runner.
Yeah.
And he's quite fast as well. So that's also helps us with the, you know, local ambassador community and beyond. So definitely something we'd love
to do something out together. Maybe at Hood or something.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Something I think it'd be, this looks fun. And plus you get to hang out with badass people and you get cool content.
Yeah.
Right. That's a win.
Yeah, it's a win. Yeah. The difficulty is coordinating that many schedules.
I know.
With people. So we probably need to start planning now for if we want to do it next year. And so, I think, picking a focus for that, like how many people could we get out for the waterfall, or how many people could we get out for Hood 100 next year?
Yeah.
Or we could do the canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rim to rim to rim.
That'd
be a good one.
That would be a good one. Your own. Yeah.
Yeah. I know Taylor and my stepdad just did that this last weekend. Actually, I didn't even hear if they made it, but I'm assuming they did. They're both tough, but it's a freaking effort.
Oh my gosh!
It's like 47 miles or something. Mm-hmm. Me and Courtney did it one time, and it's like 11 hours. And I was looking at like the fastest FKT for that.
Yeah,
it's like 7-8 hours. I think Walmsley had it or something. Okay. Crazy.
It's unfathomable, really.
It is, because most people it takes, you know, like maybe 19 hours.
Right.
It's a grind.
Yeah.
And then coming back up that south side after you've been to the north, and you know, it's later in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's from the river to the rim. Freaking legit.
Yeah.
But that would be so picturesque.
Yeah.
I love beautiful. That country.
Yeah.
That's
a good thought.
Yeah. Also, I texted Courtney, I think, yesterday, because did you know that she went to the same high school as Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa, who's really? Like their basketball. It's like she set the all-time scoring record.
Well, of course, we know.
We watched her yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they both went to Hopkins High School, same high school.
Was it Caitlin or that other girl on UConn? Emily?
Oh, no. That's, what is her name?
Paige. Thank you.
Paige Buchers or something like that.
Did Paige go to the same high
school? She went to Hopkins.
No, the team she played for said Hopkins, but I don't think it was. Was it there too?
Well, I don't know. I just know because I looked up.
Maybe
I looked
up wrong.
Paige. Yeah. No, I just looked up Paige because
she had an amazing game yesterday as well.
She did 28 points.
I know.
I've never cared about women's basketball ever. I'm always just like kind of making fun of it. I'm like, is this college basketball? But these girls?
Well, Paige, I'm a huge Juju fan. I don't know if you watch USC play yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, Juju Watkins, I think she's like the next great player here. But Paige had an amazing
game. Well, I'm from Minnesota. I looked up Paige, and so she was born in Edina and then went to Hopkins. And so
Caitlin went to Doling Catholic High School.
Okay.
She did?
Yeah, so we're talking about Paige.
Hey, look up Hopkins High School. And look up, I thought she went there too. Maybe she got kicked out.
I think
she got kicked out for drinking.
Paige. Paige is a Minnesota girl.
We'll start a new.
And I know Courtney is too, so.
Yeah, Paige went to Hopkins.
Yeah.
Paige went to Hopkins. But look up Hopkins High School alumni. I think I just looked the other day.
He's sure of it.
Yeah. We need to make sure.
That'd be wild if Caitlin also.
If they all threw it,
they're producing some players. Then if that's the case.
But no, you know what I noticed? Because I watched both those games. It's like
I did too.
These guys were impressive. I was supposed to do a photo shoot and all that. I'm like, I'm not doing a photo shoot this afternoon. I said I got basketball to watch. Watch two back to back women's games, and I just couldn't wait. I'd been like looking forward to it for a week. But
it's fantastic to see that happening in the women's game. I mean, the excitement around it, the viewership going up, and the level is remarkable.
It's you know, and then Caitlin to have 41 yeah. have that game. And still, she I was even off, like, yeah. I wanted her to get one more because yeah. she tied the record.
Right.
And I'm like, she, you know, when they have that heat check, when you're like yeah. hit a few and then you just take some crazy ones just to see how hot I am. Mm-hmm. And she came down and I wanted her, this is a big one, a heat check. And it, I think it was a little long, but yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I want her. In the third quarter, she'd hit three. And that would have been four, I think. Mm. I was like, wanted that so bad, but.
Yeah, you were all fucked up on your stats.
Oh, why?
Because Paige and Courtney went to the same high school.
Okay.
Hopkins.
Where did?
Caitlin
yeah.
did not.
Okay.
Yes, she did. You guys are all wrong.
It would have been a cool fact if it were a fact.
Okay, well, whatever. Paige is still good.
She
played amazing.
Yeah, yeah, she had some game. Big. There was a three shots, last yes. night.
Yeah,
that three where it was tight.
Yeah,
and top of the key.
Top of the key where she just came and just hand in the face.
I was like, that's a big time shot.
Yeah, and I was not. I was rooting for SC, so I was not.
Juju had a three like that too.
Yeah, Juju was amazing. They got off rhythm there in the fourth, and you know,
I don't know if it's Gino's such a good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, those girls knew exactly what to do and just so fundamental. And
they didn't lose their cool.
No.
You know, even when it was tight, they stayed calm.
Yeah.
They got it done. It was impressive.
It was, I've never cared. Like I said, but one thing I saw with Juju, I thought in a timeout, the game wasn't over, but it seemed like she was already getting emotional because I think she could tell. This isn't going.
The game was kind of she's a freshman. Yeah. The game was kind of getting away.
Yeah.
And you could see her
like kind of doing, and I felt, but she wants to win so bad.
Yeah.
So you love that competitive spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a man.
Well, the question with her is how long she'll stay in college.
I know.
You know, because she's clearly super talented.
Such a stud.
Yeah. She,
Or if she stays at USC, that's another question. If she does stay in college, will she stay there? But
yeah.
Exciting stuff. I mean, the fact that we're talking about women's basketball is awesome.
I loved it. And, you know, I even like LSU's coach, Kim Mulkey. She's freaking, she's a legend herself. Absolutely. So she put together a good squad. And then they had their point guard came over from Louisville, whatever her name was, that blonde girl.
Oh, Van. Hurst.
Something, but yeah, she was mashed up on Caitlin at the beginning. And at the beginning, I'm like, I don't know if she's quick enough to be, because you got to be a hand in her face.
Yeah, and she was undersized to be up.
Yeah, she was Caitlin. Like, I think they said she was 5'7" and Caitlin's 6 foot.
That was a tough matchup for her.
No, and she's like, it doesn't even take much of a gap, and Caitlin's just boom.
Yeah,
but anyway. We're freaking.
It's Haley Van Lith, by the way.
Haley Van Lith.
Van Hurst. I got that totally
wrong. A lot of corrections going on.
Yeah. Keith Van Horn. Yeah. I think that's who it was.
Keith Van Horn.
Remember him with the high socks?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he was a Utah player, if I remember.
He was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Deep in my knowledge.
He was. And he played in the NBA for a while, I believe.
Yeah. But, no, he did. He did. Yeah. He was lanky.
Yeah, I know. I just remember the high socks. But yeah, so we got a lot of stuff covered. We got the women's basketball. We got the running camp in the works.
Okay, you get that in the works.
The Speedland running camp.
Be a good one. Yeah. And then you got some Lift Run Shoots event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Events coming up.
Right. Austin's coming up beginning of May. And Lift Run Shoot 10K down there. And then, of course, the big event here in Eugene. And you guys
will be there.
Played a
we'll
big
be
part of
both.
That.
Yeah,
it's people. I mean, it's so cool. You know, I mean, I feel lucky as some old fucking redneck bow hunter to have a great opportunity with Speedland and to see you guys go from just starting 4 years ago to where you are now, where you guys have cured plantar fasciitis.
According to Bert.
Yeah, yeah. So you've cured that. Next up, probably curing cancer just from wearing Speedlands.
Right, it's amazing.
So the trajectory is going pretty good.
No, it's been a great ride, and we're grateful for all of those. You know, I think it's easy to look at those and say, oh, how much did they pay Bert? Like, we didn't know that was coming. We had no idea. And same with Rogan. Like, we were grateful. Those little shout outs are can't even tell you how much that means to a small brand.
Goggins gave a little love. Goggins
giving a shout out. I mean, these are the kinds of people that you admire and respect, and you just don't have any idea that they're going to talk about your product.
Pat McAfee took a shit on my shoes.
That was so funny. Oh my goodness.
But you couldn't.
That was kind of a weird dynamic going on in that one. That was like a positive. Really,
it was
kind
of. It was
because came in with those shoes on. I'm like, what?
Yeah. AJ's. He followed. He's cool. He was like trying to be positive.
He was.
Pat's like the biggest asshole shoes he's ever seen. It's right. Like, whoa.
But then he kind of said he loved them too. At the same time, I don't know. There was something weird going on.
Yeah, but all I know is you can't. If you were going to pay ESPN, hey, could you talk about my shoe? How much would that cost? If you had to buy that advertisement, so. Right. The fact, because McAfee's show is blowing up, the fact that they had showed a picture of it up there, that is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
We'll take it.
We're surprised and amazed and delighted by all of that. It's one of those pinch yourself kind of moments.
Know? No, I that was cool for me. So Pat, thank you, but mostly thank AJ. And then it was the other guy, the bald guy on there. He's one who ran the half marathon in him.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember who that was now, but I told him he could come on the podcast. I mean, he seemed like a cool guy, but nice. I mean, that show, when can you in the middle of the day on ESPN drop the F-bomb? And they do.
Yeah.
It's just, they're like, well, yeah, nobody else can, but Pat can, right. So he's kicking ass.
That's fun.
I love it.
Definitely
love it.
Fun to be a part of that. And then for those brief moments.
We'll go viral, I guess. But well, thank you guys. This has been, just wanted to give an update to everybody on what Speedlens. Do you have anything else we need to talk about or share?
I think we covered it all, right?
Yeah.
I think this is good. This will give a good, we get a lot of questions, so this is at least on the product side, this is at least giving everybody kind of a
lack of inventory
We lost the very beginning. We'll just say, because at the very beginning, we talked about how you guys, we had a power glitch. I think I discussed that. But anyway, if we lost the beginning, once these are gone, once a run's gone, they're gone forever. But the platform remains very similar. So if the color that you don't want is gone, you can get another color, hopefully in your size, and it's going to feel pretty much the same. Yeah. Your business model is, you do the run, the commission, and once those sell out,
they're gone.
Good luck. Better luck next time. So jump on it quick. But so if we lost the beginning, there's the recap of that part. And
these should be going up for pre-sale May 1st.
May 1st.
And these are deliver sick. Mid-June.
These are sick, guys. Check this out.
May 1st.
We must endure. That's life. That's how you get through life, right? Got to endure. That's how you get through a race.
It's how you get through a race. It's so appropriate for the ultra community.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. You guys love it. Thank you for all you do. And the partnership has been amazing. And let's keep making kick-ass stuff. And
sounds great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming down. All right. We'll catch you guys next time. Keep hammering.
That's good.
Thanks.
So you want to learn to bow hunt, huh? Well, I've partnered with Mountain Ops to bring back the lift, run, shoot experience. And I am inviting you to join us this year in Austin, Texas. Hosting us May 3rd through the 5th is Archery Country Pro Shop in Austin. And included in the ticket price is an all-new Hoyt Alpha X bow, along with a dozen Easton arrows, my signature Speedland running shoes, a full optics package, a bino harness, GoRuck plate carrier, a Grizzly 45 quart cooler, an Origin Raptor kit, and of course, a fat stack of Mountain Ops supplements. Not only do you get geared out to hunt, you get education on all things bow hunting. Go Hunt will even be there giving you guidance on the tag system in your state and other state opportunities to hunt. It will be a one-of-a-kind weekend with yours truly, and I can't wait to see you all there. For a limited time, we are offering listeners of the podcast 10% off of your ticket prices using code LRSAUSTIN. That's for Lift, Run, Shoot Austin. And to find details on the event, go to mountainops.com. I cannot say enough good things about the guys over at Montana Knife Company. I've been using their knives in the mountains for the past 3 years, and I've been nothing but impressed. They're an American company, their knives are made here in America, and their master bladesmith, Josh Smith, is one of the best knife makers out there. Their culinary cutlery is some of the best I've used, even though I don't use it because I don't cook, but I do use it when I'm eating. But I do know any cook would likely love them in their kitchen. I'm proud to partner with the guys over at Montana Knife and looking forward to some cool new products we're working on collaborating on in the coming months. Head over to MontanaKnifeCompany.com today and use code CAM for free shipping.